It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome to Money for Lunch after a long weekend. Hopefully it was a long weekend for everybody. But if not, either way, I should say, we want to say thank you to the brave men and women who are, I guess, Memorial Day, we remember the brave men and women who served our country. And, is a massive debt that our government, as well as its citizens, need to be aware of and make sure that that they take care of. I'm a big supporter of our veterans, and I am teaming up with actor Gary Sinise, who has the Gary Sinise Foundation dedicated to veterans, with some other lawyers, I should say some lawyers and other actors and other people who also are passionate about taking care of our veterans. So more about that later. Hey, today on the show, we're going to be talking with Joshua DeWitt about crypto space and stuff like blockchain technology, as well as some Bitcoin stuff, I'm sure. Today's quote of the day: too many people spend money they earn to buy things they don't want, to impress people they don't like. Too many people spend money they earn to buy things they don't want, to impress people they don't like. And that is by Will Rogers. What a great quote about keeping up with the Joneses and buying all that status stuff that we sometimes do. All right, let's get the party started. As I mentioned, Joshua DeWitt on the show today. He's the CEO and co-founder of CoinLion, a simple, powerful, secure digital asset management platform and cryptocurrency exchange. CoinLion is dedicated to bringing leadership, stability, and simplicity to digital asset investing through a single, trusted interface. Joshua DeWitt, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Bert. Appreciate it.
You bet. You bet. All right. So let's just.
I was just going to say it quick here. I really enjoyed that quote that you said there. I was doing some spring cleaning here recently and throwing out a few things here and there. And I just kept thinking, man, 5 years ago when I bought this thing, I really planned on keeping it and I liked it, but now I'm just throwing it out. So it's kind of when you're buying things, like you said with that quote, it just seems like 5 years later, 5 years down the road, a lot of times those things don't mean anything. So it was a great quote.
Yeah, thank you. And again, it's to Will Rogers, but it's absolutely true. Interestingly enough, yes, that was part of the inspiration for me as well. We did a little spring cleaning this weekend as well, and throwing out a bunch of stuff and donating a bunch of clothes that my mom just had to have and all that other stuff. So, but yeah, absolutely correct. We just get caught up in that mindset. And before you know it, we've spent our hard-earned money on crap. Anyway,
yep.
I wanted to ask you this and jump into CoinLion. So tell us about CoinLion. What do you see the vision for CoinLion? How does it help me, the digital investor? Talk about that.
Yeah, so CoinLion is a cryptocurrency trading platform. My background is really in traditional finance. I have a master's of investment management, portfolio analysis. I've worked at Wells Fargo, Merrill Lynch, some big firms, and done some trading there. And so I kind of have a passion for controlled, disciplined investment processes. And that's really what is lacking in the crypto space right now. I don't know, really how sophisticated all the listeners are out there right now. But if you've tried to trade any sort of Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies that are around, and I also don't know if everyone's aware that there is over 1,500 different cryptocurrencies right now. So there is a need in the space for platforms that allow for disciplined investment processes. And that's really what CoinLion is looking to do, is to kind of bring together three different components, one being the portfolio management system, the second component being the social integration, which is really allowing users to interact with one another, share strategies, and learn and grow from each other. And then the third component would be the token, what we call the token incentivization, which really allows you to, as a user of the CoinLion platform, be incentivized to share your information as well as to contribute to the community, follow along with other portfolios, and discuss kind of the crypto space in general. So there's those three components that we're kind of bringing together in this one all-encompassing platform to really empower individuals to trade cryptocurrency efficiently and smartly. So there's a lot of different things that kind of go into that. But that's the gist of what CoinLion is building right now.
Gotcha. All right. So, you know, this whole stuff with, you know, Bitcoin, I think Bitcoin is kind of what people, when they hear cryptocurrencies or stuff like that, they immediately think of Bitcoin. I think Bitcoin just happened to have, what do you call it, just made that connection with our psyche. They did a great job of marketing that name. So, but give me a little bit of background. How long have you been in the crypto space?
Yeah, so I would say I'm a super early adapter, you know, really just a few years. I first heard about Ethereum when it came out in about 2015. I was reading about Ethereum and kind of got involved a little bit then, because I think Ethereum really, for me, is kind of triggered some different thought processes and how transactions can function and how computer programming can all be tied together. And I think that's one of the reasons people kind of get confused around cryptocurrencies, because a lot of times they ask the question, well, we have Bitcoin. What do we need, you know, an Ethereum for? What do we need a Litecoin for? Why is there so many other different types of cryptocurrencies? And really, what the reason is because each coin or each cryptocurrency usually has a specific use case, can be used for a certain purpose, or maybe has a certain advantage over another cryptocurrency. I think we're all kind of trying to figure out exactly what all of these use cases are, and that's kind of what CoinLion is working to do, is to basically, you know, bring all this information together and kind of put it into one platform, allowing you to really say, okay, hey, I have a coin that does this, and I want to hold it in another basket of coins that maybe does the same thing, so I'm exposed to this type of technology. So there's a lot of different, I think, misconceptions around cryptocurrency in general, you know, what each cryptocurrency does. And I really think that, you know, these, like, for example, CoinLion is a platform, and the token that we have is used within our platform. So it's specific to the environment, the CoinLion platform. And there's other tokens that are specific to other purposes. So I think that can be the confusion around, you know, what's the difference between Bitcoin and other currencies. You know, I started kind of early, you know, 2015, 16, and getting into mining a little bit. I was building some computers, doing some cryptocurrency mining, and then doing a little bit of trading on some various platforms a little early on there, later in 2016, 17. So kind of, I would say this few years, you know, but really dived into the mining side of things first, and then the trading, and then now working to build this platform.
Gotcha. I love it. All right. So what I like about what you're doing there in CoinLion is you're trying to, again, simplify it for the consumer, right? Because I think that, you know, you have, no pun intended, you have two sides of this coin. You have people like you who have gotten really into it and know, you know, about cryptocurrencies and blockchain and all this other stuff. And then you have guys like me who kind of know it, but are so overwhelmed and confused because, I didn't know there was 1,500 different versions of cryptocurrency. And you know, and we hear all this stuff. Hey, today, you know, Bitcoin is worth $500. All of a sudden, tomorrow, you know, it goes up to whatever, you know, $5,000. And of course, I'm exaggerating. I don't think it had that big of a gain, but it did have some massive gains. And all of a sudden, you know, it seemed like, what do you call it? The digital world kind of turned its back on cryptocurrency. You had platforms like Facebook and Twitter, even Google, who would no longer support cryptocurrency advertising because there were so many, there were some bad elements in there trying to take, trying to take care of, take advantage of consumers, not because cryptocurrency was bad or not because blockchain was bad, but because we had some bad elements in there. And I think these companies acted, trying to protect consumers. But bottom line, there's all this confusion. And so I love the fact that CoinLine is saying, hey, we got to make it simple for everybody because ultimately consumers won't buy when they're confused.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the big thing is education, you know, being able to educate people on how this technology works, because just like you use your app on your phone and you might send money to a friend, or just like you use a text message on your phone, this is very similar type of technology that you can use. And I always encourage people to, hey, get out there, test it out, maybe try one of the apps, the popular apps out there, and then send some cryptocurrency or receive some cryptocurrency. And then you might have kind of an epiphany moment where all of a sudden you realize, hey, this is simpler than I thought it was. I can get a little more involved, and you do a little bit more learning and discovery and find out, hey, this is how this works and this works. And then it just kind of becomes very actually, it is a very simple system, and it does work. Technology has been working. It just takes a little bit to get used to, just like, I kind of equated to back in the day when I don't know, there's some listeners out there, but your parents, hey, you should get into text messaging. Oh, no, I'm never going to text message because that's worthless. Why would everybody want to send a text message, right? And now look at what we do without text messaging. But how many people, first when text messaging was coming out, was really they didn't want to use it. They didn't want to try it. It's too hard, too difficult. And now it's just every day. What would we do without it? So I think that's basically kind of how this whole system is evolving. But we need to really weed out the bad actors, educate tools we don't understand, and warn people about, some of the things that are happening out there so we can avoid those pitfalls.
Absolutely, absolutely. I agree with you. And just real quick, Mark Cuban from Shark Tank fame, he is one of those guys who's totally into cryptocurrencies. In fact, the Dallas Mavericks, the team that he owns, will be accepting not just Bitcoin but cryptocurrency for the 2018 season. So I'm saying that just to let everybody know, cryptocurrency isn't some kind of a weird thing or whatever. It is, I love the analogy, it is that next version of texting, right, or whatever. It's people just have to get familiar with it. So let me ask you this. Right now, what are the trends that you see for cryptocurrency?
Up and down. No, I'm just kidding. whether it's technical trends or long-term fundamentals, I think those are two different types of maybe trends to discuss. I mean, I think you saw early on in 2017 and 2018 here, more I should say later in 2017, early on in 2018, the big momentum type of trend where everyone's kind of following the herd mentality, the path, and everyone's, and that's kind of what pushed those prices up. I know you had mentioned some of the prices, but early on in 2017, Bitcoin was $1,000, and by end of January 2018, at one point I know it had peaked out at around 19,000-20,000 on certain exchanges. So I think over that you kind of had people, you could equate it, I guess, a little bit to the technology, the dot-com kind of era. It hasn't been that extreme yet. The dot-com bubble was a lot bigger. The dot-com, it really ran up quite a bit higher as far as market cap goes. So I don't think we're there yet with blockchain, but I think it was people are really kind of trying to figure out, what is this technology? How do we use it? What's it good for? We've seen a lot of gains here. I want to get involved in this coin. So then they started kind of piling into a lot of the other coins, and that really pushed the prices up. I think now searches are down a little bit on Google and things like that as far as crypto in general, so prices have kind of come back down. I think that we just need to figure out exactly the use cases for these different cryptocurrencies. We also need the applications around cryptocurrency to improve, just like kind of the internet evolved from, being on your computer on a desktop and being very hard to use. Now it's very simple, easy on your smartphone, for example. Banking, was always on a desktop, and then it migrated to smartphone. Now you have these apps. Same type of thing is happening in the crypto space. You're seeing a lot more developers, a lot smarter, a lot brighter individuals and programmers coming to this space and creating more technology and programs around blockchain and cryptocurrency. And then these programs really allow users to interact easier with the technology. So I think as we develop more applications around cryptocurrency, we're definitely going to see a continued, you know, uptrend. You're still going to see ups and downs, volatility, as what I like to call, what they call price discovery, as we kind of try to discover what the value of these cryptocurrencies are. And some of them probably are not worth a lot. Others will be worth a lot depending on what they're used for. And so I do think that we're going to continue to see more users in the space. Really, cryptocurrency has the power to revolutionize some of the developing world, the undeveloped world, really, where there's a lot of unbanked individuals, over 2 billion individuals in this world who don't have access to the modern financial system. They can't, they don't have social security numbers. They can't access bank accounts because they don't have proper identification, or they're in other countries where this is not easily accessible. But they do have access to smartphones and technology, and they're able to then transact and interact with the modern financial system. So we need some sort of what they call interoperability between the previous financial system, or the existing financial system, and now the new the blockchain, the cryptocurrency era. So as we kind of build these applications that can go between the two systems, then we're going to really see a large increase, I think, continued growth in the space. Will you see ups and downs? Yes. Is the trend continuing upward? Yes. You know, it's tough to kind of say what the exact trends are, but I would say overall growth going forward.
Sure, sure. And you know, that just blows me away. Did you say 2 billion people who don't have access to banking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then if you actually kind of consider their families and their close relatives that are connected with that, I mean, it can expand out to 2+ billion. I mean, it's a large number that cannot access the financial system. There's a book, a very good book, it was one of the earlier books about the age of digital, age of cryptocurrency and the digital revolution. I encourage any listeners out there to pick that book up. You can get it on Audible and listen to it, you know, while you're driving, and it really walks you through historically the money and the financial systems and the creation of money and what it was used for, and how this whole system came about, and now, you know, how this system, the blockchain and cryptocurrency, can really revolutionize a lot of what we see existing today.
Man, that just blows me away. That I want to point this out, because there, right there, is the reason that people like you and CoinLion are excited, because there's a massive market. I mean, 2 billion mm-hmm. people. You know, and of course, typical entrepreneurial math. Hey, if I can only get 10% of that, you know, we're you know, it's a multi-billion dollar company. But still, it's a huge market. And I remember seeing something on 60 Minutes a couple of years ago, where, again, you hit the nail right on the head. There is this millions of people who don't have access to traditional banking in this, and I think this bank and the local cell phone company merged some idea together, may have just been the cell phone company, but they were allowed to do some kind of digital banking via their phones, because they had phones, but they didn't have banks. And sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. it just wasn't a traditional thing. And so you could literally take your money, you would take it to a convenience store, you could deposit it into their system, and then you could spend it via your phone. And you could pay mm-hmm. for cab fare, electricity, food, all those different things. Is that what cryptocurrency is going to be doing?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it already is doing it to a certain extent. You know, another example is a great example of use cases for cryptocurrency and why I think it's so important and world changing. You know, just what you said is you hit the nail on the head there with kind of that whole analogy. But also, you know, hyperinflation, countries like Venezuela, where you see in the morning, you know, milk might cost $5 and at the end of the day it's $20 or something like that, for example, or whatever the currency, the denomination there. It really just fluctuates like wildly. And so they're working on creating stable cryptocurrencies that really have, you know, tied to maybe, for example, a dollar. There's a coin called Tether that's a 1-to-1 ratio. So I think once we kind of can get these stable cryptocurrencies working very well and the applications a lot easier to use, it's going to make a lot more sense for people. Another big use case is global remittance. I worked in the banking industry for a while, and you'd have a lot of individuals using global remittance systems to send money back and forth internationally. And it takes sometimes three days, and it costs, $40-$50 to send this stuff, and then everything has to be exactly accurate on the names, all the spelling and the addresses, and all the documents have to be filled out perfectly, and if there's an error, that can cause a delay. Now blockchain technology is being used to do this, and it's being done in split seconds for literally fractions of the cost with almost guaranteed accuracy, and can be done repeatedly over and over again, many transactions very quickly. So that's kind of also when I just realized this can change a lot of things, because I was doing a lot of transactions on a daily basis, and I started doing transactions with cryptocurrency, and it was really eye-opening. Wow, this is incredible technology, faster, easier, simpler, cheaper. So I think it will change a lot of things.
Okay, so, and I don't know if this is possible, but cryptocurrency is based on this technology called blockchain, and I guess blockchain again is the platform or the software. I don't know if I'm
sure
saying this correctly, so you can correct me. But it's built on this thing called blockchain, and so. Other than cryptocurrencies, what can I use blockchain for?
Yeah, so blockchain is kind of I've heard it referred to as the, there's this new revolutionary accounting system, just like we went from different accounting systems, single entry, double entry, I don't know if you want to call it triple entry or, what the exact word is, but it's a new accounting system basically that allows all computers to really verify each other. So the strength is there, it's transparent, it's immutable. So it's used to store data, similar to a server, for example. A central server stores all the data on a central server location. A distributed, decentralized blockchain will store the data across thousands of different computers working together to verify this data. Or a blockchain can also be run inside, for example, on its own in a server, on two private blockchains, they call those. So there's
okay.
A lot of different use cases for blockchain. It can be run as public, decentralized. It can be run as private, centralized, which would allow basically it to store information on transactions or serve a purpose, a use case. For example, transactions on Ethereum. Ethereum allows you to transact the token back and forth, but it also allows you to build programs on top of it. So Ethereum is actually a combination of programming languages. The main Solidity is the native language. This is all programming, but it allows you to actually create an application that, instead of running on a server, runs on top of this blockchain, which is distributed amongst many, many computers. Now, the benefits to this are security, transparency, strength. If all the computers, all the computers need to verify it. If one thing changes in the blockchain, it's going to kind of mess everything up. So basically, they all need to be verifying each other and always need to be in sync. So there's a lot of benefits. There are limitations as well, which is scalability, really allowing the number of transactions per second to be able to occur. Visa, for example, it would be a centralized transaction processor. They would do all this within the company Visa, and they process thousands of transactions per second. Ethereum processes transactions, but it's not quite to that scale. So they're working on a lot of solutions to try to solve this. And other blockchains are working on these similar solutions to make more transactions per second, cheaper transactions, faster, more secure. So that's kind of all the different use. You could use a blockchain for a lot of different things. You also need to kind of weigh out when it is appropriate to use a blockchain and when it is not appropriate, because a lot of times these same things can be done in a central server for a lot cheaper, but not as transparent or as immutable, not able to change. So I really think that there's certain times that blockchain should be used, and then there's certain times that they shouldn't. The financial system is a great place that they should be used, because we need transparency, we need trust. There it also could be used to, say, track a fruit. You see those IBM commercials on blockchain where they say we track this, fruit from one farm to here, and now to the end user. You can scan a banana or whatever, and this came from a farm in Florida, not South America. So it's just
right.
Kind of You know, there's a lot of different use cases, and I think we're still discovering these use cases, but we're also trying to figure out how we can use this amazing technology and how can we apply it to the real world, because a lot of this is all
right.
being done digitally, and that's great. We need digital. You know, there's a lot of great digital solutions out there that help us in our everyday and solve a lot of problems, but how can we bring this to the real world, translate that, and have real world use cases for the blockchain? I think that's what a lot of these projects are working on, and you know, what the value is kind of still being fleshed out.
Gotcha. All right, let me ask you this. Here you are. You got together with you're one of the co-founders, so that means there's somebody else. And so you got together with your team, and you said, "Hey, we got to launch this thing. We're going to call it Coin Lion." And you know, whatever was said there. What was the biggest obstacles launching Coin Lion? What was like maybe one of your big things that you guys had to figure out?
Well, when we first started, we were fairly new. I've been in the space for a while, but there's a lot to learn. It is computer science, so you know, good programmers who have 20-plus years of experience or very intelligent programmers can figure this stuff out fairly quickly because it's based all on computer science. So the first thing for us was, I am not a programmer. I do, you know, do some programming, but I would not sit down and build this whole platform myself. So we needed to basically find a chief technology officer who we felt would be able to handle this and build this sort of system, large scale systems, lots of transactions, complicated architecture. So I, you know, kind of was doing some interviewing and discussions and connections, and then so finding someone who could really facilitate and build the smart contracts on top of Ethereum, because we need these things called smart contracts to run our system. And so finding that was one of the challenges, and we were able to do that. And then our deadlines and hitting those deadlines, continues to be a challenge to be able to develop this technology. And the regulatory environment is always top of mind for us. One of the things, we want to be a leader in the space. We want to do everything 100% above board. So there's a lot of different regulatory issues that we had to work through. You know, we're partnered with multiple different law firms to make sure that we're, you know, basically doing everything above board when it comes to cryptocurrency. And you know, regulation is still evolving and changing, and we welcome reasonable regulation. We want to eliminate the bad actors in the space. So that's another one. So we, you know, hired a couple full-time lawyers that are on our team, and working through that at this point, you know, we do feel we're just very confident where we're at. Everything is going very smooth. You know, we're planned for a pretty timely launch coming up here in the next couple of weeks, months. And but yeah, it's been a learning experience the whole journey. So I think that's, you know, part of it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So is Coin Lion your full-time endeavor right now?
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. I've been full-time Coin Lion for almost a year. Now really I was formerly before that, I was at Merrill Lynch, doing some portfolio management. I worked on a team there, managed traditional assets, stocks, bonds, you know, that sort of thing, did some trading. But Coin Lion right now is my full-time endeavor. We also, I do some cryptocurrency mining. I'm getting more into that here in 2018. So I do that as well, just to kind of be involved in the space. I like to understand the different algorithms and how it all works and where the space is headed. So I think that staying involved in that can help us stay relevant as well.
Sure. All right. Real quick, when you say you do some crypto mining, what the heck does that mean? I mean, when I think of mining, I'm
sure.
thinking, you know, you're going down a tunnel, you're a pick and an ash,
yeah.
and you're coming out with something. So this is all digital stuff. I mean, you and I can,
yeah.
you and I are, you know, can create as much digital assets as we want. So quickly tell me, when you say crypto mining, what does that mean?
Yeah. So each cryptocurrency runs on a blockchain. Blockchains use different algorithms to verify themselves, basically the whole system. And so what mining is, and I can, you know, to make it sound simpler, I would just, the word mining is confusing. Like you said, you know, you're in a tunnel, you're digging, but it has nothing to do with that at all. It's more akin to, I would say, accounting, but you're letting your computer do the accounting work with a lot of other computers. And so all these computers, you know, graphics processing units for some. It depends on what system you're using, but ASIC miners for Bitcoin, for example, they work together to basically solve this very complicated equation. And in solving that complicated equation, they're verifying and validating these transactions within this network. So it's this entire network of computers working together. They call it mining because basically what you're doing is you're working to find a solution to a very complicated math problem, and you're kind of hacking it over and over and over and over again, kind of, you know, chipping away at it. So
gotcha.
I'm not sure where the original term mining came from, but I would kind of say it's easier to understand if you think of it as accounting, verifying transactions being done by computers. So when you think of like a mining farm, if they say, hey, I have a mining farm, it would basically be a room full of computers.
Sure, sure. All right, so I got some quick questions to ask you here, because I cannot wait for your answer here, because here you are, you're dealing, you know, you have this financial background, and, you know, which I think can be very volatile. And then, of course, you went from there to even more volatility, which is in this, you know, call it coin lion cryptocurrency space. So let me ask you this, especially with all the stuff that cryptocurrencies went through in the last few months, how do you deal with fear? Whether it's launching a business, watching, you know, your currency or your valuation slide down, you know, how do you deal with fear?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think for any investor, I think really need to come to terms with their plan, you know, and I think that's ultimately what it comes down to is your goals, your plan. I know this kind of comes back to some traditional wealth discussions, but being in the traditional space, you know, actually the first day, one of the first days that I was working in the financial industry, the market plunged almost 1,000 points. And so I was, you know, kind of on edge about that and concerned about that. Yeah. And, you know, other older, individuals I was working with that are in their 60s or 70s, even, hey, no worries there, you know, so they've been through this before. So I think one of the, that kind of taught me being in the traditional space is, you know, don't get caught up in the ups and downs, focus on what you know, to be true on what on your strategy. If you feel like you have done your due diligence and you've laid out a plan, a strategy in place that's going to get you to achieve the outcomes that you desire, then you don't need to get caught up in the ups and downs of the swing on the daily basis. I believe in this technology long term. Will some, you know, that's also where we touch on diversification as well. Will some of these cryptocurrencies fail? Yes. Will some really, you know, rise to dominance? Yes. So diversification, but stick with your plan, your strategy, you know, understand that you are doing this for a reason. And that's kind of why I believe in this whole system. I long-term, I can see where this is headed. I understand the fundamentals behind it. And so I believe in it. I stick with it. I don't get caught up in the ups and downs, and just stick with your plan. So I think that's really where it comes down to, not getting caught up in the fear. I really honestly do not have any fear, right now at this point. I know we're kind of at a low point here. It can look a little bad on paper at times. You know, I don't see cryptocurrency going away at all. It's just like, I don't see traditional markets going away. Our market's high. Can we see downturns? Yes. But if you look historically over time, things tend to grow, you know, even population grows, you know, inflation and all this. So I do think long-term we're going to continue to see growth.
Sure, sure. And you know what? And I love that. So my takeaway from your answer is, you know, you got to believe in what you're doing. You got to have on your plan, and you got to really rely on those two things, whether, again, it's building a company or building wealth or losing weight or, you know, whatever it is you're doing. You have to have a plan. You have to believe in that and believe in yourself. All right. What's a personal self-talk, mantra, affirmation, or self-belief that contributes to your success?
So lately I've really been on sort of a time thought process around time and my time management. I kind of just really feel that the most valuable, you know, if you want to call it a commodity or currency or whatever that you have is your time, you know, and each decision that you make in the day can lead to a certain outcome, and you need to be making decisions in your day that's going to lead you to your ultimate end goal and the outcomes that you desire, whether that be those outcomes on a daily basis or your outcome in 10 years, 5 years, you know. So I think time management and just understanding that time is so important. We don't have a lot of it. You know, we have 24 hours in a day, and I've heard some other analogies. The one I've been kind of using lately is that if every hour in the day was represented by a gold bar and you had to give up that gold bar to do something for that hour, what are you giving up those gold bars for? Because it's worth more than a gold bar to me. Each hour is worth more than a gold bar, you know? So I think that's kind of and self-growth and revelation kind of time management and understanding what's important. And then that might not be that spending time with your loved ones, you know, spending time at work and spending time focusing on yourself. So, you know, if it came down to your last 5 minutes of your life and I said to you, hey, I'm going to give you, you know, all the money in the world, you can't give it to anybody, or do you want another 5 minutes, what are you going to say? You're probably going to ask for more time. So I just think
sure.
It's important to keep top of mind.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And I love that idea of looking at your time and representing it with a gold bar. All right. Parting word of advice to our listeners.
I would say never stop learning. If you're curious about something, go after it, learn about it. If you're passionate about something, you know, pursue that, and then really watch your time and be careful what you're spending your time on and make sure that it's not things that are bringing you down.
Yep, I love that. All right, final question. How can my listeners find out more about you?
Yes, so you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm open there, open for connections. So if you'd like to connect on there, you can chat there as well. info@coinlion.com. If you want to ask a specific question, you can just shoot an email there. We'll have one of the team respond, or I can respond as well. info@coinlion.com. And then coinlion.com, you can read more about the company, where we're located at, some of our advisory board, some about the legal and the regulatory environment. And then we're kind of gearing up for platform launch here coming up in the next couple of months. So, yeah, coinlion.com.
I love it. Joshua DeWitt, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing. Looking forward to having you back.
Yeah, thank you so much, Bert. Appreciate it so much.
You bet. Good stuff there from CEO of CoinLion, Joshua DeWitt. Love what he's doing there, right? I mean, this is, to me, a real entrepreneur. This guy is putting together a company based on hope, if you will, right? Because it's not completely built. This is, you know, and I like this analogy of the whole text messaging thing. You know, I mean, back in the day, you know, whenever it was 100 years ago when we were just developing the internet and companies were like trying to figure it out, this is where CoinLion is today. Him and all these other people in this space are trying to figure out what the market is, how they're going to fit in there, and how they're going to help consumers, right? So this is something to watch for. If anything, this is a great lesson in entrepreneurship. Why? Because this is raw entrepreneurship. This is like, hey, I believe in this space. It's not completely developed. I'm going to be an early adapter, but I want to be a market leader in this space. That's how much I love it. And I love how he deals with fear. You got to believe in yourself. You got to believe in your plan and just go for it. My friends, thank you so much for stopping by and listening. Very, very grateful that you guys do that. Please, let's share the show with everybody you know. Let's help them deal with some of their, myths about cryptocurrency. Maybe also help them dealing with fear and also some of these other things that we talked about. As always, my friends, thank you so much. Remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch and check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.